All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to a brand new series that we are calling Marriage Killers. All right. And I'm telling you, man, this is a series that Bethy and I are very excited about and what God is going to do in this series. So it's going to be good. Going to get a little spicy. I'll tell you more about that in just a minute and prepare you for that, obviously. But before I do that, I want to give you guys a shout out because last weekend, we had a rally day, and if you're here for the first time, you're wondering what that is. It's the kickoff to our semester of our small groups, and you know we've just been seeing God moving in our small groups like never before. But something is happening in this church, and it is incredible to see. And we had the greatest sign up in the history of our church. But how many know it's one thing to sign up and another thing to show up? And we had the greatest first week of attendance in every small group in the history of our church. Let me tell you something else. Just in, and you can clap in just a minute because there's a reason to clap, but just within our Freedom small groups that we had and we talked so much about, we had nearly 100 people that are going through Freedom this semester, and we've had hundreds just in this week going through different small groups. To God be the glory. Amen, everybody. Isn't that awesome? So here's what that tells me, that there's a lot of you that have made decisions this year refusing to do life alone and realizing if 2017 is going to look a whole lot different, I've got to do some things that are a whole lot different. Amen, everybody? And so if you didn't get in a small group this week, fear not, all right? You can always jump in a group at any time. That's why we love just our strategy with small groups. It's free market, and so it's interest-driven. And so I just encourage you, get on the app, get online, check it out, and then jump into a group. You can shop groups until you find the perfect one for you. And I just encourage you, and you guys are doing a great job. Don't do life alone. Amen? Well, I'm excited to talk on this marriage series, and it's also sometimes, it's kind of a little tough for me sometimes, too, because I realize some of you have been married longer than I've been alive, all right? And so here's what I know, that it's sometimes for me, this is hard, all right? And because I know that there might be somebody that's back there thinking, what's this young buck, this young whippersnapper got to say on marriage, you know what I mean? And so I just know it's for me, it can be a little challenging. And so, but I'm going to do the best I can because here's what I know. All of us can grow in our marriages. All of us can grow in our relationships with people. Amen. And so this is a series that's, yes, for marriages, but also for those that are wanting to be married as well. And I just really believe God's going to do some incredible things. So in saying that, I want to lay a couple ground rules for us, all right? And first of all, this is a message, a series for you. Everybody say, this is for me. All right, so no elbowing your spouse, the person next to you, all right? No, it's all about you and Jesus through this series, all right? So I want the focus to be on your heart with his heart, amen? And you let the Holy Spirit work, amen? And so I want to encourage you with that. The second thing I want to just tell you that you'll probably kind of find in this series is that it will sometimes feel like God's standard for marriage is hard. It's hard to kind of live up to, and you may get in a point in this and think, man, I just don't know if I can do this. And but I want to encourage you, do not be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. And that Jesus came to make all things new. And so because of that, guess what that means for you and I? It means that we get a do-over. And so that no matter where we find ourselves at, that we can grow and we can go further than where we've been. I don't know about you. Marriage is awesome, and it rocks, all right? And here's what I know, that it's also challenging sometimes, right? And it is. It's challenging sometimes. And so what I hope and what I'm praying for, and I'll just kind of make this promise. Let me just kind of throw a promise out there to you that I truly believe that if you will lock in with us today and the next two Sundays, it's only a three-week series, everybody, all right? And, man, if you will open up your heart and your mind to God and his heart for what he wants and be willing to potentially have some tough conversations, all right, with you and the Lord and maybe with you and your spouse as the series goes on, then I believe that God will heal marriages that are broken. I believe that God will strengthen marriages that are struggling, and I believe that God will launch marriages that are just beginning in Jesus' name. Amen, everybody? And so that's the desire, that's my heart as your pastor, that I want for us. And so I just want to kind of give you a little bit just of a picture of just my life. And with my wife's permission, I can share a few things with you today. And Bethany and I will be married 10 years, April 28th this year. Come on, somebody. Amen. Woo! Yeah. 10 awesome years, and hard to believe it's been 10 years, babe. It's amazing. We've made three beautiful babies together that we love and adore, but I love my wife a lot more. Amen, all right? And so, but man, God is doing things. We got married when we were 22, speaking of young bucks, and we didn't know what we were doing, but we did. We got married early and trying to figure this marriage thing out. I'll never forget one of the kind of the first things, I guess I'd call it conflict, but it was a funny conflict. And we were on our honeymoon, and we went to Cancun, and we were there for a little over a week or so. And I'll never forget, of course, you know, guys, I know what I'm talking about, you know, when I say this. But like, man, we're there, and we're thinking about, you know, going back up to where we're staying to just get ready for our dinner, because we're hanging at the pool. And I said, babe, let me just ask the worker here, and I know a little Spanish, and so let me, I got this. And she actually is decently fluent, I would say, especially at that time, with Spanish. And so she's kind of grinned at me. She's like, okay. And so she was with me, and I went up to the worker, and what I said wasn't what I meant. And so what I mean by that, and I say this to the best of my ability, it was somewhere along the lines of te doy mi corazón, which is not what tells time means, all right? And so I'll tell you what it means in just a second. So, and I'm like pointing at my wrist, and Bethany's like, babe, that's not what you're supposed to say. And I was like, no, girl, I got this. It's cool. Just, you know, I'm your husband. I got it, you know. It's cool, you know. And the guy's, all of a sudden, his eyes are just getting bigger, and he's looking at me like, who is this guy from America? You know what I mean? And then all of a sudden, finally, as I'm realizing, okay, this is not getting through. He's not understanding. And Bethany told me, she said, babe, you're telling him, you're giving him your heart. I said, oh, yeah, go ahead, babe. Yeah, my bad. I'll just do your thing and all. Yeah, amen, all right, you know, okay, cool, you know. So I was embarrassing, that awkward turtle moment, like, what is happening, you know. And so anyway, tried to be a man, you know, and then didn't quite work out real well. So, but I'll never forget, though, that there was a season, there was a point in our marriage where I thought things were going great. I thought things were going real well, and to come to find out that things weren't so great when I was talking to Bethany in that season, and she just said, babe, things aren't well, and they're not good. And so I knew that, man, I needed to really do some soul searching within my heart before the Lord, and I need to, you know, kind of, we need to work this out. So just got honest before the Lord and got honest with one of my dear friends and pastors in my life, and come to find out how selfish I had been, and realized that I was taking from the marriage and not putting enough back into the marriage and into her, and it was hard. And you know what I realize about marriage sometimes, and especially when you first get married, is that marriage has the ability to kind of magnify the flaws that we have. And I think it showed me how selfish I was, and learning that when we got married and moved in together after we got married, it was a big deal. But our first year ended up being strong. I'm going to tell you more about that and why that is important in just a few minutes. But I think that I could have come up with 50 or 50 different things that we could talk about that I think that has the potential to destroy marriages. But I really want to just spend my time on a few, because I think these few are important. So today I want to talk to you all just on the subject of how do we navigate through conflict, and what's that look like within our marriage. And then next week, Bethany's actually going to join me on the stage, and we're going to discuss on just expectations and unrealistic expectations that sometimes that we put on each other in our marriages. And so we're going to talk about that. And I will say next week will be spicy at times. Everybody say spicy. Yeah, spicy at times. And so if you have children that are 12 and under, it's as a parent, it's to your discretion if you want them in here as we talk about a few spicy things. We have a great kids ministry, all right? That might be the time to introduce them to that. But if you know, I've had those ask me, is it appropriate for a 13 and older? I would say absolutely, because I know they're hearing much worse in their schools. And I believe if our kids are going to grow to understand sex, they need to understand it God's way and not the world's way. Somebody say amen in the house. Yeah, and so we want to help teach them that. You know, the two most neglected subjects in the local church today is on sex and money, and we're not going to be fearful about talking about either of those things, all right? So we want to see all of us, and including, obviously, our marriages, understand that principle and its importance. And then the final week, I'm just going to talk on the subject of just discontentment. What happens when we get discontented within our marriage? What do we do? Proverbs chapter 14, beginning in verse 12. As I was preparing for this message, I was really praying about the opening scripture because I really didn't know what, I could have went a lot of directions, but I felt like this is the most fitting for this. And it just says this, there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end it leads to death. In other words, that there's a way that seems right to you and I, and maybe the way that we've been doing marriage, maybe the way that we've been kind of doing life, it's not, we're finding it's not working out. And the more that we try to navigate our life doing it on our own, the more that we will find destruction ahead of us when we're not doing things God's way. And so my hope is that we first understand the importance of just this scripture, that you may think you're right, but how many know that we've got a lot of learning to do, amen? And that we're never at a place that we just arrive, all right? And so I just want to just encourage us to understand that only God's way truly is right, and we want to embrace God's plan, his direction. And in saying that, I think there's more help. I think there's more self-help books available today than there's ever been on marriage. But how many know the most important book that you and I can gather to grow in marriage is from the book, the Bible? Amen, everybody? And so, and that's where we're going to learn as we go through this series. But I don't think it's an information problem that we have. I think it's an application problem that we have. I think that we can be inspired with great messages, but lack the application to really apply them and make them effective in our life. And so my prayer over this series is that whatever it is that the Holy Spirit shows you and talks to you about, that you would receive that and that you would apply whatever it is that God is showing you. Amen? And so that's my hope. That's my prayer for this time. And so we want this series to be helpful to you. We want it to do as much as it can to help you and your marriage to grow. And so we're doing something that we've never done. I have right English there. And what we're going to do is have some interaction. And so what I mean by that is there's a phone number that you can text, and so that number on the screen there, and then it'll be throughout the message as well, that you'll be able to see it up there as well. That during today's message, during next week's message as well, if there's questions that you're thinking about throughout this regarding marriage or dating or you know, wanting to be married, whatever, wherever you may be at, text those questions in. And then starting next Sunday, so the next two Sundays, Beth and I both are going to do our best to try to answer as many questions as we can. All right? And so those questions, when they come in, will be anonymous, just so you know, so you can feel comfortable just asking. And like I said, we're going to do our best. And part of this is we're just wanting to make sure we're doing our best to help you and taking the time that we have on a Sunday to do the best that we can. Amen? All right? And so just want to give you that, so that number will continue to be up there today. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20 says this, such an important verse for us, that there's not a single person in all the earth who's always good and never sins. When you got married, you married a sinner. You married somebody with some issues. Yeah, I've got issues, you've got issues, we've all got issues. If you don't believe you have an issue, that's your issue, all right? You may have heard me say that before, but that's the truth. And so I knew when I married Bethany and she married me, we both understood we married somebody with issues, all right? So nobody has it all together. Let us be very clear. Nobody, the person that you love, and even in the place of dating, and I'm going to talk more about this in week three, that a lot of times we magnify what's so great in the midst of our dating that we don't see the flaws, which can be dangerous sometimes in our dating. I'm going to just help pastor you in that in a few weeks. But I'm just telling you, we all have things within our life that sometimes aren't real pretty. All right? And so that's why this is such an important verse in Scripture. So today, though, we're talking about navigating through conflict. So I want to give you a statement. I want you to write some of these things down. First of all is this. Having conflict, I want you to understand this, in your marriage does not mean that you don't love each other. But how you deal with conflict shows whether or not you love each other. And that is so good, I'm going to say it again. All right? Having conflict in your marriage does not mean that you don't love each other. But how you deal with the conflict shows whether or not you love each other. And so if you're sitting here this morning and maybe you're concerned about where your marriage is at and maybe there's tension, maybe there's conflict. Maybe you know there's things that have gone unresolved and you've been fighting. I just want you to take a deep breath. All right, feels good just to take a deep breath, but to also understand that part of that is normal. But here's the most important part of that is though, how are you fighting? And that's what I want to try to help you with today and as we navigate this. So 1 Corinthians 13, this is an incredible passage of Scripture. I've used this when I've married couples in the past, and you've probably been at weddings, and you've probably heard this verse at some point. But I want you to digest this. I'd love for you to keep this verse close to you this week as we're just thinking about marriage. And of course, by the way, guys, Valentine's Day is this week, just making sure you know, all right? And so just trying to help you out early, all right? And so 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is, everybody shout, love is. Love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects. Everybody shout always. Always. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. I love this passage of Scripture because it describes to you and I what love is. And I know that if I tell my wife, if I tell Bethany, I love you, then these qualities need to be a part of my life. And it should be a scripture that we all, on what really whatever level, seek to grow in, seek to be a person that is love. And so when I read that scripture, it's a scripture, I'm saying, God, it's God. It's agape. It's who he is. This is him. And I don't know about you, but I want all of that. I want all of the good stuff that God has, and I want to be who he wants me to be. But I want to give you a statement that is not in this scripture that I think that really helped Bethany and I just early on in the first few years. And I was kind of alluding to this a little bit earlier, but when we were engaged, I'll never forget this, that and where we were working at the time, and we just had naysayers telling us, you're crazy, don't get married, stay single, live it up. But, you know, we wanted to get married. We loved each other. That's what we wanted to do. But we had a lot of people telling us, man, that first year is going to be awful. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. You know, I mean, just like, man, thank you all so much for your encouragement to my marriage. God bless you. You know what I mean? And so, which is why you have to make sure you have right people in your life. Friends, again, that'll be honest and encourage you. Everything goes back to relationships, everybody. I'm just telling you, you need right people, need godly people in your life. I'll never forget our closest friends, man, Pastor Jason and Nicole, and man, we all lived in Columbus, Ohio. They moved their family here shortly after the church started, and Paul and Dottie as well came, and Nicole's parents. But I'll never forget Pastor Jason and Nicole who came to us, and well, it was just one night. I think we were just hanging out. Bethany, I'll never forget this. And they said, you know what, that first year is not going to be a tough year. It's going to be a great year. And that's all they would speak throughout our engagement process of how awesome and great it will be. And, you know, they were committed, though, to pray, and that's what they did. They prayed for us. And can I tell you, it was a great year. Did we have a few times? Sure, absolutely. But it was great, and I'm appreciative because you need friends like that, man, who will love you and believe in you, and man, contrary to what everybody else is saying, is going to give you the truth and help you along the way. Amen? So just something that I was thankful for. But this is just something that I think that helped Bethany and I so, so very much, and that is simply this, that love never hurts on purpose. Love never hurts on purpose, and if I say to Bethany I love her, that means I will not intentionally hurt her on purpose. That's love, all right? And so this is why conflict is so dangerous, because I've found that when we're fighting and when we're dealing with issues, we are at the most tempted place to say hurtful things. I want to be very clear. Bethany and I don't have the perfect marriage. We don't have the perfect kids. All right, we're all in this thing together, all right? We're all equal at the cross, all right? And so we're in a process and journeying, trying to figure this out. But have you noticed that a lot of fights, arguments can start out of the littlest things? Like, you didn't take out that trash? No, I forgot to take out that trash. And then, booyah. It's just like, man, it's like World War III just took place, you know? Or my laundry still ain't done? No, it's not done. You know what I mean? And it just kind of goes. You know, y'all know you're laughing because you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it's at that place where the potential to say something dangerously hurtful comes about. And I know that we've had those moments within our life. And I would actually be willing to bet that if you made a top five list of the most hurtful things that you've ever said, I bet that it came out of an argument or a fight out of one of those moments. And because all of us, I don't know what it is, but we're wired to win. We just want to win. We sometimes want the last word. And I don't like losing, everybody. Like, I'm just going to be honest. I don't like losing, and I think if I took a survey, I don't think anybody likes losing. Matter of fact, it's tough when my teams are losing. I have to do some more praying sometimes. Lord, have mercy. You know, I don't know what happens Sunday night at Super Bowl, but I need to give our drummer some props. He's a New England fan. I love you, Scott, wherever you're at. I don't know, but I needed to say that publicly and get that off my chest. Anyway, but I don't like to lose, everybody, and so it's hard. So I just want you to know, because I'm not in this to get a cute ribbon. Like, let's win this sucker. Let's go, you know? But sometimes what happens is the same thing in our marriage. We want to be right. We want to have the last word. And then we start thinking about, man, just that knockout punch that we can deliver. And, man, it can be the very thing that hurts. And so how do we navigate through conflict? Better yet, how does God expect us to navigate through conflict? And I just believe you have to live, you have to learn, you have to love and pray and grow and do that over and over and over again. Marriage is a journey as well. You've heard so much in the last few weeks, if you've been a part of any of these messages, that freedom is a journey. Your relationships are journeys. Your marriage is a journey. And you never just arrive, everybody, amen? And so we're all in this journey together, and we have to allow God to build that muscle that allows us to be able to handle conflict the right way. Song of Songs. Boy, if you have never read Song of Solomon, it's okay, but man, what a spicy book. But we're going to get into some of that next week, all right? So it's everybody say spicy. It's spicy. It's spicy, all right? It's spicy. It says this, so Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 15, catch for us the foxes. Notice the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. Those little foxes are the little things sometimes that tend to creep into our life. And if we're not aware of those things or take understanding to some of those things that could be damaging to you or to your relationship, have the ability, I'm telling you, to control and to kill your marriage. And so sometimes the little things, the little nags here, the little undertones of things said here that we've just got to be careful, but it's the little foxes, those little things unchecked in our life have the ability to take us out. And not just within a marriage, it's within our journey as we are moving forward, even in the things of God. So I want to give you five fighting filters, all right? And five things that we're going to pull from the scripture in 1 Corinthians 13. And remember, love never hurts on purpose. Here's number one, and that is this, that love does not dishonor. Love does not dishonor. And honor really just means a couple things. It means respect. But honor in the Greek, this is so good, it means to give weight to something or to someone. So I know if Bethany is speaking to me, I'm listening, and I want to continue to grow. They say the greatest art of communication is listening. Great leaders are great listeners. Amen, all right? And so I know that when she's speaking and when I'm speaking, that's one thing that we really try to do is not cut each other off, but learn to honor. So I give weight to what she's saying. I give weight to her because she's my wife, and I want to honor her. It's something we're teaching in my household right now. Man, kids, Lord have mercy. I'm going to speak on behalf of my kids. Boy, they can act like the devil sometimes. Lord have mercy. And be tested. Let me tell you, I've got a 2-year-old right now. If he doesn't like what mama says, he comes to daddy. Oh, and he tests daddy because mama tells him no. He tries to come into daddy because I hadn't heard the conversation. But you know what? Daddy has learned to ask, what'd mama say? Well, mama said no. Then that's what daddy's saying, all right? And so that's the way it's going to be. Have an 8-year-old that's going on 16, thinks she knows it all too. Love her to death, but Lord have mercy, when your mama's talking, you're listening. You're not going to disrespect. You're not going to talk over her. You're going to listen. You're going to honor her. And I realize this is really a whole other series of kind of parenting, but it's honor even within the home, and then honoring our kids enough that when I'm in conflict, I'm not going to do it in front of them, everybody. That if I've got to send my kids to their room for a minute for me and mom to have a little bit of a conversation between us, then we're going to do it. for the sake of peace. And I don't want my kids all up in our business. And so if there's things that we got to handle, sometimes we'll handle it and we'll go talk, you know, and make sure they're not around. And here's why. That's honor. Honor, everybody. I just want to make sure we get that. And so the danger, I believe, of dishonoring is it causes you to talk down to your spouse. And I'll just say this. You can never resolve any issue by talking down to somebody. I think as a spouse, it's one of the most humiliating things to do to one another. It's disrespectful and it's out of order. And it causes dishonor. That's what it does. All right? My name is Kyle Mills. I'm your pastor, and I'm just here to help you today. All right? Philippians 2:3 says, don't be selfish. Everybody say, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. And so I want to just give you, in every point today, just kind of a couple just questions for you. This is between you and God, not you and your spouse, you and God. And you need to have some just reflective time to think about this. And my question, my takeaway question from this first point is this: how often do I talk to my spouse like they are stupid, lazy, irresponsible, or beneath me? All right? Here's my second point. We're going to keep moving. Love is not easily angered. And I'm actually going to use my takeaway question right here instead of at the end of this point after the scripture. And that is this: is my family scared of me, or what might set me off? I believe this. It's a quote. I don't know who said it. It's great. That a person who overreacts in a situation with another person values the situation more than the relationship. I think it is so good that we sometimes move towards caring more about the situation than we do the person that we love. We just got to be careful with that. And I just know this as a pastor, even as a friend, that I can't help the marriage of someone who is just internally miserable. And what I mean by that is if you find yourselves always getting an attitude at the restaurant with a waiter or waitress, or you are always getting an attitude in traffic and yelling at the cars, or always getting on your spouse because it's always his or her fault, or if you think your boss is always the one being the jerk. Listen, you may not have a marriage problem, you may have a heart problem. And I think that's the important thing, that if we are seeing some of these, any of these characteristics, that we have got to run to God. And we've got to have the help of the Holy Spirit. You know that one of the attributes of the Holy Spirit is his counseling. Oh, his counsel is incredible. Get to know the Holy Spirit. Amen, church? And I'm just telling you, and get in a small group. You know, we have a great marriage small group. Buddy Cassandra Johnson leads an incredible group. They led it last semester. It was powerful. Get in one as well. I mean, I just encourage you so much. Get in a group, though, and do life. We've all got real issues, but we're serving a real God, all right, who can help us with that. Hebrews 12:15 says this. Man, such an important verse, that a bitter spirit is not only bad in itself, but can also poison. Notice that. Poison the lives of those that we love. So if I'm hanging on to things and I'm not allowing forgiveness to be released, and bitterness is my portion instead of love being my portion, it's poison. It hurts those. It hurts my spouse. It affects my kids. It affects my friendships. It's poison, the Bible says. And so I would just encourage you to just, again, evaluate where we're at and take these things to God, but apply some of the principles that we're learning right here even today, all right? I love this. Maybe my favorite point of the day that really kind of segues from that scripture into this, and that's love keeps no record of wrong. What a great verse of scripture. Colossians 3:13, it says, to bear with each other and to forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I love that. How many times have you and I gotten into a fight or a conflict? And again, it blew up into something, but what was dangerous and hurtful is that we threw past things into the person that we love's face. Man, I don't know what could be more hurtful than throwing the past. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that to you and me? Think about that. He keeps no record of wrongs. Listen to me. Let me pastor you, please. If God does that for you and me, then we must do that for other people, including, my God, including the one that we love. committed our lives with, but relationships in our life, to keep no record of wrongs. But Pastor, no, but, well, you don't know what happened. I know I don't know what happened. And I'm not saying what happened wasn't hurtful. But it's not up for you to settle the score. You give God the opportunity to settle that score and be done with it. I think we hang on to stuff way too much. And what it does is it dictates the course of our life, and it's dangerous and it's detrimental. And I'm pushing on you a little bit today to just encouraging you to run to God and don't hold on to these things. Just seen it destroy lives. I've seen it destroy marriages. Unforgiveness is the breeding ground for destruction in a marriage. And I want you to remember that scripture, right? It's the little foxes, the things that go unchecked, that ruin the vineyard. And when Jesus forgives us, man, he wipes the slate clean and brings it to zero bounds. We don't know nothing. Aren't you glad for that, church? So glad for a Savior that's done it. So here's my takeaway question, and then ask yourself this. How often do I use my spouse's past mistakes against them? Am I doing that? If I'm doing it, I need to stop that. All right? And here's the other thing I want to say very quickly. This is why real apologies can be powerful. Real apologies, real moments. Bethany and I have had these moments with each other. She said, I'm sorry. I've said, I'm sorry. But when you take responsibility for something that you've done wrong, and I know I've done it. Babe, I'm so sorry. Not making light of it. You know, I didn't mean to say that, girl. Shoo, you know. No, it was taking a minute. I'm not playing. You'd be amazed some of the marriage sessions I've been in. Lord have mercy. And look at her in the eyes and say, I'm sorry. Those words, I'm sorry, come out. And you know what that implies? My love and my care for her. And not just handling it as something that was minute, because in her heart, it hurt her. But this, again, this can be applied. Marriage, friendships, that we take the time to not try to make it less of a deal. Because if someone said, man, I don't like the way that felt, then I'm sorry. I don't want you feeling that way. And man, if it came across that way, that was not my intention. I apologize. Please forgive me. And here's what happens. When you have to release the words, I forgive you, it's harder for you to hold on to that at that moment then. Everybody getting this so far? All right. Here's the fourth thing. Love does not delight in evil. Do you ever have maybe those moments that you've had in your relationship when you think of something really hurtful? Like, it's kind of a weird excitement. You're thinking like, man, this is too good to go unsaid. Like, oh, she's got to hear this one. Oh, I know she's talking. I know what I'm thinking, you know. And it's just like this weird excitement. It's like, stop it in Jesus' name. But look at what Jesus says here in Matthew 5. This is out of the Message Bible. Never seen it this way. Love it. Jesus said, you're familiar with the command of the ancients, do not murder. I'm telling you that anyone who is so much as angry with a brother or sister is guilty of murder. I was at my desk this week, and I was trying. I couldn't get on to the rest of my message because I just hung on that. I was like, it was a drop the mic kind of moment. I was like, whoa, God. Well, you are for real. You are for real. And it goes on to say, carelessly call a brother idiot, and you just might find yourself hauled into court. Thoughtlessly yell stupid at a sister, and you're on the brink of hellfire. The simple moral fact is words kill. Your words can either be a tool for life or a weapon of destruction. Can I tell you my grandma, what she used to tell me? She called me grandson. When I knew she meant business, it wasn't even by my name. It was grandson. All right. She'd tell me. She said, grandson, if you don't have nothing good to say, she didn't say keep quiet. She said, you better keep your mouth shut. Mm-hmm. Yes, grandma. Love you. You know, I mean, it's like grandma talks, you better listen. And you know what? If I don't have life to speak into my spouse, who I love, who I married, then I better keep my mouth shut. If I don't have life to be speaking into other people, now I'm not gonna waste my time on that. For what? Prove what? You kidding me? Man, we've got a kingdom to advance. I ain't got time to get caught up in the war of words. My God, if we're going to make a difference in the world, it's because we're going to be known for speaking life in Jesus' name. Y'all with me today? And so we've got to be a people that does that with each other as well. And the Bible compares calling someone a fool to murder. Think about that. To use our words to hurt someone else is considered evil. These words, I've prayed. Lord, watch over the door of my lips, Psalm 141 says. Watch over the door of my, maybe even on this. We just need to be careful. I'm just telling you, we need to be careful, all right? How excited do I get to say something I know will sting? That's my follow-up kind of question to this. All right, and here's the fifth thing. This love always protects. I love this. My home and my spouse should be the safest place where I can go and not have to worry about protection. And what I mean by that is I'm not talking about guns. I'm talking that trusting that my marriage is a safe place. One of the things that we continue to try to grow in and do together is make our home a place of peace. There's enough junk in the world going on, everybody, and the last place I need it is when I come home from a long day at work. Amen, everybody? And the last place I need it is within my marriage. And so this is something for Beth and I, we just have prioritized of importance, that our house, our home, will have an atmosphere of peace. But we realize peace will never come about unless her and I lead it. So our kids will never understand peace unless they learn it. Is it making sense, everybody? So I know that when we come home, that it's an opportunity to come into peace. It's one of the favorite parts of my day is when I get to go home. I get to see my wife. I get to see my babies. I love them. And so it's a moment. It's important. And I've noticed this, that when we have a we mindset, we're united. But when we have a me mindset, we're divided. So remember, you are not enemies, you are allies. Don't see your spouse as an enemy, ever. See them as an ally. You're a team in this journey. Ephesians 4:2 says, be humble and be gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance or making room for each other's faults because of your love. You know they're going to screw up. They're going to mess up. They may say something they shouldn't sometimes. Make allowance. Keep loving them. Here's my question. Does my spouse feel that he or she can be vulnerable with me because it won't be thrown back in his or her face? Let's think about it. And then very quickly, I just wanted to give you a couple things. I think there's probably a slew of things I could give, but I wanted to give a couple practical ways that you can protect your spouse. All right? First one is just this real quick. These aren't in your notes. These are be up on the screen. Not talking bad about them to my family or friends. I'm telling you, you start opening up your mouth to the wrong people, you're inviting unwanted voices and opinions that could dictate the very direction of where your marriage will go. You show me your friends, I'll show you your future. You got to be very careful of who's speaking into your marriage. Protect that. Make sure it's people that love Jesus as much as you do. One of the number one things that we do when we help to counsel couples in our church that go through premarital counsel, we don't marry anybody unless they go through premarital counseling. And so, but one of the things that we tell all of our couples is just simply this. If an issue arises in your marriage and it's beyond you and her to deal with, ask for help. So come to us as your pastors. Don't run to your parents, all right? Don't run to your friends. Don't take it laterally. Not saying they wouldn't provide good wisdom. Hear my heart. But they will always side, a family or a parent will always side with their kid. It could be dangerous. So we've just said, man, take it up. So take it to authority. Take it to a pastor. Man, let us help you. Let us walk with you in this journey so that we can together move forward in Jesus' name. I've seen too many marriages, too many, everybody, that have pulled in voices of parents and even friends, and it wreaked havoc. I've even seen marriages end. And so I'm just telling you, this is just my heart. I'm just trying to help shepherd, all right? Encourage them is the second thing when they are down on themselves. Even if I'm frustrated about what they are frustrated about too, all right? And then very simply, not saying things about areas where you know they are vulnerable when you're fighting, when you do have those conflict moments. And here's just the last point, just as a reminder before we pray, that love never hurts on purpose. How we handle conflict can either determine our destruction or our success moving forward. And so my last thought for the day, and as we get ready to pray, is a takeaway for husbands and wives. Husbands, I want you to listen for you first. And this is as it relates to your wife. How I choose to respond when you've upset me is determined by how much I want to protect you. Wives, I want you to now think about this, all right? And as it relates to your husband, how I respond when you upset me is an indicator of how much I respect you. All right? So here's what I'm going to do. I want to pray for you. Will you bow your heads right where you're at? Heavenly Father, I thank you so much, God, for the opportunity this morning, God, for us to engage, God, in this area of marriage, God. Lord, outside of our relationship with you, this is such a powerful institution that is in our, that is in Scripture. And Father, we desire in Jesus' name to see marriages flourish and be healthy. So Holy Spirit, I just thank you. You're our greatest help. That you help us now. We just release the ministry of the power, God, of your Holy Spirit into our marriages right now in Jesus' name. And we just declare we don't want to do this without you. We need you. We need you. Lord, I need you. Bethany and I need you. We need you in our marriage. I need you helping us with our kids as well, Lord. So Father, we just are desperate in saying how much we need you in our lives. We need you, oh God. And so Father, I just declare that the marriages of this church be healthy. And Father, and I just declare that, Lord, let Elevate City and the families and the marriages within this church be an example for the world to see. That God, that we're gonna choose to love you and we're gonna choose to love and to do 1 Corinthians 13. Let us grow in the design of what love is, oh God. So God, we're desperate. I thank you, God, for helping us, God, to see it your way. Seeing it God's way. In Jesus' name today. With every head bowed and all eyes closed, if you're here and I want to give you an opportunity, if Jesus is not the Lord of your life, if he's not the priority relationship today, I want to give you an opportunity to make him that. I want you to know Christ died for you. So no matter if you're new at discovering God or maybe you just haven't been journeying with God, I just believe today is the day to make that decision and to say, Jesus, you're gonna be the priority relationship in my life again. Come on, all over this room, I'm just gonna ask you to slip up your hand in just a moment, real bold. And when Christ went to that cross, he went naked, beaten for you. So we can be bold for him all over this place. I want you to be honest. Lift up your hand if that's you right now, all this place. Say, man, that Kyle, that's me. That's me, Pastor. That's me. Say, man, I want to put Christ first. Yeah, gotcha. Thank you, man. Thank you so much. Yeah, hands going up. There you go. Yeah. We're hanging. Got you. Yep, to my left. Gotcha. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Yeah. Now let's just pray this prayer. Come on, church. Let's pray with all these. Say this, say, Jesus, I give you my heart. I give you all that I am today. I surrender to you. Thank you today for saving me. Saving me of myself. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse me of my past. Lord, help me to love like you love. Thank you for loving me. And thank you, God, for never giving up on me. In Jesus' name, amen.